Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star Fam? Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time to hear the colors and see the music. And I have an awesome show put together for tonight. Have some really, really awesome guests and some interesting and crazy and exciting news to talk about. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, August 12th, 2011. And joining me on the show tonight is Rick and Marriott from WeTheWorld.org and We.net. And We the World is a global collaboration for a livable future. They promote solutions for a world that works for all. The organization was also founded in 1998, and We the World is a 501c3 nonprofit and also makes up a lot of other organizations that form an international network. They also produce and promote events and other programs to increase public awareness and action about critical social issues such as violence, poverty, and ecological damage. So we're going to talk to Rick and Marriott a little later on in the show. But let's first jump into the news. The news, one of the most interesting things or one of the most talked about things that's been going on the last week is the stock market. Not only the stock market, but also what's been going on with the stock market. Most people hear that it's been dropping and going down and up, and what is really going on. A couple interesting articles that I found that talked about this in different news areas. Give you the first one. Dow closes down 521 points. Bears create another bloodbath for U.S. equities. After rallying back from earlier 400-point losses, the Dow Jones tanks in the final hour to close down under 500 points. Now, if people who watched the stock market this week will see that that was on, I believe, Tuesday that happened. Wednesday, when the stock markets open, U.S. stock rallies shoot Dow up 429 points at close. They opened under and then ended 429 points shot up at close. Now, why I talk about this is because it's a game. It's a system. It's a system that they're using, and they're changing the numbers. U.S. stocks had a miraculous several hundred-point surge minutes before the close, even after the Federal Reserve issued their dismissal outlook for the U.S. economy. So even after the quote-unquote stock market sort of closed for the day, in the final minutes, it shot up several hundred points, which, if you use common sense, there's no one in the final minutes that bought 700 points worth of stocks to make it rise like that. Okay, these are actual signs that you can look into the system that will show you that these are just games. They're fluffing the numbers. They raise them up and they raise them down. The only way for this to stop the games to be played is if people realize that they're games and don't play them. And I know that's probably hard for a lot of investors and stuff to hear, but that's the reality of it, that these numbers are actually manipulated. And if you watch the stock market on Tuesday and Wednesday, that is proof that it happened, that it was manipulated. It's black and white. In fact, if you YouTube or Google stock market manipulation, you could watch some really, really interesting other times where you could catch them manipulating the stock market in final minutes or opening minutes of certain things. So, interesting thing that's going on this week. Just know what it is. It's a game, so don't play it. Moving on to the news. Now, this is something we've talked about on the show. I'm going to go over three articles that I've talked about in the show. And when I talk about certain things, at first, to some people, they may be a little crazy or conspiracy theorists or whatever. I always encourage everyone who listens to do your own research, check this stuff out, read the stories, Google, YouTube, whatever you got to do on everything we talk about here. Because, again, I'm reporting facts on what I find is truth, but who knows what's really going on out there. There's always three sides to every story. So I encourage people to check these stories out. And if you have more news to report or anything like that, email me through the radio show, starseedenergyradio.com. The first story that I've been talking about since it's happened was the Fukushima. Now, when this first happened, the United States and Japanese government, and still the United States, has said that nothing is happening, there's no radiation. Basically, the media has just covered everything up that's saying everything is fine. Now, finally, today, of course, TAPCO finally admits in Japan, TAPCO's the power agency there, they have admitted that Reactor 3 and indeed has melted down and was breached within days of the quake. Now, we talked about this for months. We're still talking about it. This is the stuff you have to look out for, because these are the things that will show you how the system and how our current governments, including ours, are manipulating the system or not telling us the truth. Now, this is a big one because it has and is affecting everybody here in the United States. Another thing I've been talking about is the TSA body scanners. The TSA body scanners that we're talking about, how in the 20s and 30s that shoe salesmen were using x-ray machines to measure people's foot, and how all the shoe salesmen ended up getting cancer. And I stated a few months ago that when these things were first coming out, that these things for sure are giving off radiation. And now, in a new story, the TSA Sega, I'll read you the headlines, Tragic Justice, TSA reports agents developing cancer from naked body scanners. Okay? So now there is a court battle going on with TSA employees that are reporting cancer clusters among them. Radiation from body scanners. We told you about it. That's why we talk about it. And now some of the employees are filing lawsuits and they are admitting that they're getting cancer. Another third one story that I talked about, that we said Google and Facebook and Yahoo have been working with the governments and even ratting out the activists that are forming peaceful gatherings. We talked about Facebook doing that and Google. Well, this last week, Google finally admits that it has been handing over to European users or European governments their user database, and also to U.S. intelligence agencies. And from the article, Google has admitted complying with requests from U.S. intelligence agencies for data stored in its European data centers, most likely in violation of European Union data protection laws. So our intelligence agencies say, hey, Google, give us your stuff. We want to know who's doing searches and who's on this. And the European data centers for Google over in Europe said, okay, here you go. They gave it to our government, which is against the law in the European Union to even do anyways. It violates European law, but we are the U.S. and they do what they want. So those three articles I saw this week and just read up that finally TSA, Google, and the Japanese government have admitted what we've been talking about for months here on the show. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well, is pay attention to this stuff, because these are the articles, the stories that show the kind of current system we're living in and show about the awakening, about what's happening, about 2012 and the shift and all that. It's all plays together, but you have to be aware of it all. And talking in terms of what has been going on in the last week or so, there's been a lot. Besides the stock market, we've talked about the London riots that have spread all over London, as well as the full moon that's coming up tomorrow on Saturday. And there's also a huge meteor shower going on since I think it was yesterday until the 13th. So check out the stars at night, because there is a meteor shower. Now, what's interesting about this full moon is it's a full moon that also has a couple alignments going on, as well as there's solar winds hitting the planet right now. A huge one hit yesterday, and also a meteor shower. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And this article that I found talks about the solar storms and the powerful moon that we're having. So I'm going to read a little bit from it. The full moon in Aquarius opposing a Sun, Venus, and Mercury conjunction in Leo. Since moon in August in Aquarius represents the rebellious, wild, irrational, and unpredictable, it is essential for us to remain balanced. That, to me, points to London. Yet within the exterior turmoil is also a time for deep introspection and Neptune and Pluto influence, that house clearing of release and relationship that began in late May and continued through June and July's eclipses is still ongoing, reaching its finale now. Time to get honest, clarity in relationships, review the truth that actions speak louder than words. Truth is revealed in the equity of the antiquity of takers and givers, manipulators and straight shooters. It is uniquely empowered energy in which to let go of attachments that do not serve. Change the agreement in relationships that are one-sided or false. It is time to release relationships that are unbalanced or a one-way program or have been outgrown. So that is what's going on. There's a lot of strange energies. They're talking about rebellious stuff, which is London, and ending relationships and realizing to really pay attention to people that talk the talk and really walk the walk. So give me a little background on the energies that are hitting the planet right now. Also, talking about Fukushima, this article is pretty out there, but it's scary to know that this could be true, because what they talk about is the radiation in Fukushima is off the scale. Basically, that's referring to millions of people dying in the immediate area and outward. On Thursday, after the famous physicist Dr. Chris Busby told the Japanese people this week that radioactive air contamination there is now 300 times that of Chernobyl and 1,000 times the atomic bomb peak in 1963. Inferring that hundreds of millions of people are now dying from Fukushima radiation, including people in the United States. And we've talked about this before. There already has been spikes in multiple baby deaths, almost doubled in the last few months in Philadelphia and other cities around here. Important stuff to pay attention to. Also, what's happening over in Japan, there has been in the Ring of Fire in Japan, 6+0 earthquakes in just 8 days, which you have not heard anything about on the news, but over in the Japanese islands over there, there has been 7 6+ earthquakes over there. Also, another interesting article I found about the International Space Station. The International Space Station, they're getting rid of it. Russia and its partners plan to plunge the International Space Station into the ocean at the end of its life in 2020. That's what they're going to do. So they're done using in 2020, they're done using the space station, and how they're going to get rid of it is they're going to smash it into the ocean. They're going to crash in the ocean. So what happens to all the chemicals and supplies and all the stuff that they have on that station? Are they going to do like a station cleaning? Probably not. They're just going to dump it into the ocean. It just goes to show you more of the attitude of our government and how they treat this planet. Talking about the government and control, we talk about this a lot, about freedoms and why it's so important for people to get involved in activism and freedom speech and spreading truth of what's going on. This article is entitled, Cops Kill One Person a Week with Tasers. Latest victim is a black boy tased to death. Police brutally rages on its cops, extend their shocking streak of one tasering death per week since 2001. And this is just out of control that they're still allowed to even use these things on people when they're killing one person a week. Another article, martial law, corporate media hints at military plans to take on the American people during domestic civil unrest. And it reads, as the United Kingdom continues to riot, many have wondered how the United States would respond to a similar outbreak of riots, whether caused by an economic collapse, widespread terror attacks, or some other cataclysmic event. Could be a fake alien invasion. Who knows? For those that are awake to the fact that the government was long ago taken over by elite oligarchies, this question was answered years ago. It is public knowledge that the military is planning to take on the American people by declaring martial law and taking part in widespread arrests and gun confiscations, the plans which have already been activated multiple times, including during Hurricane Katrina and the Seattle WHO riots. So pay attention to the government and martial law, because that stuff could be around the corner and you need to be aware of it. You need to be aware of this stuff so when the situations arrive and the situations happen, you could be the first responders, the first reactors to calm people or help people or whatever it is you're called to do at this time. But to be aware is to be alive. Now, also talking about the UK riots and what's going on over there, let's talk about what this started from. The UK riots started late on Saturday night because the police shot and killed an unarmed person. Now, I've read different reports that it was a female or it was a young male, but police basically shot and killed an unarmed teenager, and justice-seeking crowds and angry protesters started protesting, and things got out of hand. Now, it's not just this that they're protesting about. This is what sparked it. But it's also protests about the banks, the oil companies, and the financial institutions also in the world. So it's not just about this one incident. It's about everything else that's been going on, and also about the brutal austerity measures, the draconian austerity measures we've been talking about in the show, that have also been recently implemented all over Europe that are breaking down countries one by one. These draconian austerity measures, they are not cool. Angry young people with nothing to do and little to lose are tuning in on their own communities, and they cannot be stopped, and they know it. They're all betting together, and even the cops are watching most of these people destroy the cities. And it's not just the cities they're destroying. They're also destroying the whatever cafes and other government or corporate buildings that they're also targeting. So it's not just the, you know, old houses or something like that. They're actually specifically targeting cafes and corporate, quote-unquote, corporate places. Now, the UK, in response to this, has also threatened to switch off Twitter and Facebook. They've also said that they're going to put the army on the streets. So my warning to this is, remember a country called Egypt? Egypt did that. Not a good idea. Egypt shut off the internet, and the country really went crazy. What they're saying is that the free flow of information can be used for good, but also be used for bad. And the prime minister says that they're using people using Blackberries and whatnot and organizing things versus social media against the government. Well, they are probably using it for protests, but it's not the spin that everyone says, that they're purposely targeting and using Facebook and everything else to do attacks on the government. No. How else do people communicate these days but using their cell phones and social media? Sad but true. UK also disregards concerns about human rights and authorizes shooting of London riot protesters. England has authorized the police to shoot protesters participating in London riots and will ignore phone concerns about human rights raised by the community. So that was also new, that something happened yesterday. UK has now authorized the army or the police to shoot the quote-unquote the looters and rioters. Meanwhile, they're protesters rising up to a government of tyranny, and now this government of tyranny has turned to actually killing and shooting the protesters, which was happening and is still going on in other countries all over the Middle East and other countries that are uprising right now. Also, what else is going on around the world? Talking about other countries, we have Chile, which has been protesting. There's over 150,000 people that came out for other protests in Chile, all across Chile, and also more than 300,000 demonstrators across Israel have been protesting about the high cost of living and also about the government. So it's not just London, but remember, it's all over the world where multiple countries all at once are rising up to the tyranny of these governments that have been implemented and controlled by banks and corporations. Talking back about the stock exchange again, it's not only that the stock exchange here has been down, but also the stocks in Europe and the U.S. tumbled Wednesday, and a day after the Federal Reserve pledged to keep extremely low interest rates for two more years, temporary, calmed investors. But when it reopened again, it opened up under the stock exchange. It opened up under actually a couple hundred points. And at close that day, they jacked up the points a few hundred points within several minutes of the bell closing. So common sense shows there's a lot of number games being played, because it's sort of impossible that that many investors could buy that much stock in a couple minutes to shoot the stock up several hundred points. Also, this is an interesting article, and we'll wrap up with this. This is the FBI is asking surplus stores to spy. This is about several stores that have complained and written and now joined together that the FBI is asking military surplus supply stores, anyone buying dry food or camping bags and things like that, to actually report them as quote-unquote terrorists. Now, this to me, they're probably targeting, you know, militias that are actually stocking up on food and things like that, or probably even just for regular people now that are getting worried about all these continuous things that are happening around them. The current system, as we know, it is not working, and this is just another, you know, implementation of force on our rights, that now they're going to report us if we buy meals ready to eat, or, you know, a sleeping bag, or if we buy, you know, a bunch of canned food in military surplus stores. So they are now required, and they're asking them to rat on American citizens or report American citizens that are buying large amounts of survival gear and whatnot. And that pretty much wraps up the news. I'm going to play another track from the Ibiza Euphoria album. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Rick and Marriott from We the World. This next track is Diving Races. And welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And now joining me on the show is Rick and Marriott from We the World, which I talked about a little earlier. They're also involved in the 11 Days of Global Unity coming up in September 11th to the 21st, and also the International Day of Peace. And thank you both for joining me on the show.
Oh, it's a real pleasure.
Hi,
hey, Marriott, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Excellent.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. And first, I just want to give a little background on both of you. Rick, you're also not only just involved and also founder and board member of We the World, but you're also a composer, a keyboard player, a songwriter, and you've written, produced, and arranged a bunch of performances that have been on ABC TV, NBC, CBS, the Olympics, feature films, different commercials. And major recording artists that you've worked with have been Queen Latifah, Carlos Santana, Judy Collins. Tell us a little bit about where and you know, you started with your music career.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been doing music my whole life, really. And I've had all that experience of playing and performing in bands and writing music, for, like underscores for TV shows and all of that. And I kind of made a transition in the 1990s because I thought, you know, what good is a music career if the whole world is going down the tubes? Mm. So that's why I started volunteering for social change groups, nonprofits, and I started to get this idea, you know, about collaborating on a global scale, and that's what led me to start We the World.
That's excellent, because music is so important, as we all know, to really healing the soul and making change, because it's something everyone can relate to, and that's how you really, I guess, tied it into We the World. Are you still active with your music?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm doing music. In fact, I put my recording studio, when I opened up the offices for We the World, I put my recording studio right in the offices, so we can do recording sessions here and do public service announcements, radio spots, and, you know, TV spots, and all that kind of thing.
So excellent.
We do it all the time.
So it's a one-stop shop you got set up.
Yeah, I guess so. You might say that.
Excellent. And Marriott, you're basically also involved with the We the World campaign. You're a principal organizer, and also with the Youth Now campaign, which is a new campaign you're working on. Now, also, your background is you're an artist and an art professor, and you're also involved with the real major thing, which is the activism for the youth, and that's with the Youth Now campaign that you're working on. And tell us, how did your art background and your art professor background weave you into We the World?
Well, I guess I met Rick in New York at an event about 2.5 to 3 years ago, and after I learned about what he had been doing with We the World and his vision for it, and he was just starting the We campaign at the time, and I was just at a point in my life where I was really ready to step into activism in a more prominent way. I was at the time working with a battered women's shelter as the children's program director, and I had also lived in China for 10 years and traveled around Southeast Asia. And, you know, I had a lot of compassion for people and had a lot of ability, I think, to connect with people in a profound way. And I felt I was really being called to step into something, you know, in a more active way. So I got involved with helping start the We campaign.
Excellent. I find it real interesting that it seems a lot of us, like you, your background was an artist and art professor, and Rick's was music. Those are all very open creative outlets that produce a lot of creativity, and you both came from those very big, you know, creative backgrounds where you were actually a teacher at a university, and you're also an artist, and Rick was doing performances and using music, and it both led you to We the World, where it's just another creative outlet for both of you. And what exactly is, like, We the World, for our listeners that aren't familiar with it? what is We the World campaign? What does it stand for, and what's it about?
Right. Well, We the World is a global coalition building organization. So we annually connect thousands of socially conscious groups and individuals to amplify their efforts and generate public awareness and action. That's what we're about. And in fact, we started the We campaign to really focus on making that shift in consciousness from I to we. And it's on many levels. It's really important. And, you know, people can get involved if they go to we.net. That's the place to be for this, for We the World and the whole We campaign.
And I've read, like, on the website that you have a ton of different organizations and people that are all now working together, like James Goodall and Desmond Tutu. So there's a lot of global support for people to get involved and actually take action and help make change. And the 11 Days of Global Unity, tell us a little bit about exactly what that is.
Okay. Well, we started that a few years ago. It's basically 11 Days of Global Unity goes from September 11th through September 21st. September 21st is the International Day of Peace. And you could say it's an annual worldwide promotion of peace, justice, sustainability, and transformation.
And what goes on during those 11 days?
Oh, so many amazing things. And in fact, this year, it's even more amazing. It's going to be at a new level of participation. We've already gotten it to the point where there have been as many as 700 associated events in over 60 countries. And
this year
it's going to be even bigger.
Oh, wow.
And the reason is because this year we're marking this historic time period that spans the 10th anniversary of 9/11 and the 30th anniversary of the UN resolution that established an International Day of Peace. That happened in 1981. So this is really a special period. Some people even call it a sacred time span. And this year we have 11 themes for each of the 11 days.
Oh,
so,
great.
So we're calling it 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Ways to Change the World. And this campaign, the 11 Days, 11 Ways campaign, is a platform for global collaboration that highlights sustainable solutions in these 11 areas of social change. Maybe I'll just read some of the areas, you know, the 11 areas.
So yeah, absolutely.
The first day is unity, of course, you know, September 11th. And then we have interdependence, we have the environment, we have economic justice, we have health, children and youth, women, human rights, freedom, disarmament, and then the last day is the International Day of Peace. So together, you could say that we're creating a blueprint for a peaceful, sustainable world.
And that's well needed during these times because, as I talked about earlier in the show, and as everyone can clearly see if you look around the world around us, that the current systems of what we have is not really shaping up to be the best for humanity, and there's so many new ways of living and self-sustainability models that are out there. This is definitely something that is well needed in the world, and it's great to have you guys doing it. So I thank you both for even, you know, for doing it, and thank you for putting your energy into it because it is an amazing, amazing program that is coming together, and both of you are a big part of it. So I personally thank you guys for doing this for everybody. And talking about the interdependence of it, what exactly, Marriott, would you say is so important and why we need interdependence now?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that all of our common challenges are interrelated. So every single social issue that We the World addresses and the We campaign addresses, like human rights and environmental climate change and women's issues and poverty and water, they're all integrally related. So you can't separate them. And I think people are starting to realize how interdependent we are as a species and as a global ecology. So when we talk about interdependence, we talk about, you know, humans and animals and nature as all, you know, being so important to each other in our survival and thriving. So that's, I guess, what we're addressing in these 11 days is trying to encourage people around the world to take action, wherever they are in the world, whatever their passion is, to just find a cause and take action, because it does matter, and we all can make a difference. So interdependence is a real movement, and we are working. One of our major partners is the interdependence movement that was started by Benjamin Barber, and we're working with them on several events and programs during the week. And, you know, I think there's a real consciousness towards the idea that we really have to see each other as all part of the same family.
Absolutely, I agree 110% to that one. It's definitely time that the mass consciousness of people realize that we all are the same and we all are connected, and together is the only way we could really make a profound change for all of humanity. So it's so important that people like us, spread the new technologies and new ways of thinking, like interdependence. It's a new thinking, a new concept that's new to people. And it's definitely a time to implement something like that because of how crazy things are all around, and there's so many better ways to be living. Now, Rick, I want to talk to you also about the TV series that you produce called Visual Voices. Can you tell us a little bit about exactly what that is and what that touches on?
Oh, sure. Basically, Visual Voices is a series that has, I guess, there are four running themes. Politics, media, the arts, and spirituality. So it's a very interesting look at what people are doing in each of those areas to create a better world. And we've had some fairly prominent people on the show. Amy Goodman from Democracy Now!, Dennis Kucinich, Wayne Dyer, I don't have it in front of me, but a whole bunch of them.
Excellent.
Ralph Nader was on, and, you know, many. So we produced it years ago. It's in reruns at the moment. But we had a great run on Dish TV with an available audience of like 15 million people. So that was really great.
Wow, it's excellent. So that was just another outlet that you used to get some positive information out to the public.
Exactly. And, with that combination of the arts and culture, and as we were saying before, you know, Marriott and I both came to this work through the arts, and we feel that it's really important to include the arts. In fact, we have a little kind of a slogan about what we do, which is to inspire, inform, and involve. Mm. So the arts are really a major component of the inspire part of that. We don't think that we can accomplish successfully social change without reaching people's hearts, and the arts are the way to do that.
Absolutely. It's bringing that creative energy out, which is really what motivates people. When they're doing something creative, then they're going to give it their 110% because they're doing something they love. And that's absolutely very important. And talking about the youth, Marriott, tell us about the new Youth Now campaign that you're working on, and what's that all about?
Well, you know, in order to affect this change that we need to see in the world, we have to have a new paradigm. And in terms of, you know, what is it going to take to create the energy and the action that's necessary to shift the planet to sustainability and compassion and peace, it's going to take a lot of innovative ideas and a lot of creative energy. And I believe that the youth really embody this innovation and creativity and energy. And a lot of young people might think that they don't make a difference and that, you know, one person really can't do anything. And they may feel very apathetic in the face of so many crises that we're facing now. I like to turn that around and really point to the fact that the people are going to turn this around. It's not going to be the governments or the corporations or the leaders. It's going to be the people. And the young people have a huge opportunity to stand up and really inspire the world to wake up and see what direction we're heading in. So we started Youth Now with we've got a team of college students who are creating this platform for dialogue and action, and we're going to use social media to connect a network of youth around the world and call on young people, mostly high school and college age, to take action in their community, whatever, you know, is meaningful to them. And we're going to have activists that are posting videos. And Jonah, thank you for posting a video for us. You are our in our top 10 A-list of activists. So thank you for that.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Also a training program for leadership and activism. And we're going to offer a documentary film screening program to college campuses and high schools. So we're
excellent.
Very excited about some plans that we have to engage youth in the world.
That's excellent. And basically all you just said is what I talked about in the youth video. So I'm excited for you to see
great.
It because it's just what you just said.
Well,
and it's so important.
Same ideas that we do.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, because what the youth don't realize and what the adults don't want them to know is that they're the leaders. They're the ones that are going to be running the world in not that long of a time. So if they make their conscious decisions now to take action, it's going to make a world of a difference. They are the ones. They are the youth, are the leaders. They're the ones we need to listen to right now. But they just need to get activated and be a voice. That's all they have to do. And that's how powerful they are. And one of the things that popped in my mind, I talked about this about 6 months ago on the show, was a 15-year-old in London that stood up after they did some protests there because they cut like education. And this 15-year-old was just amazing. What he said, and it was so powerful that it just go to YouTube and just YouTube 15-year-old London tells government, you'll see this video. It's just amazing because the youth, you know, they come from a state of just of innocence, you know, and they know what's truth, a lot of them, and what's not, just because they feel it. They know it's right. So it's so important to get their voices heard and their voices out there. So I'm really excited to be part of this new campaign you guys are doing.
We are glad to have you on the team. Thank you.
Excellent. And talking about the We campaign itself, Rick, why do you feel it's so important to have the We campaign right now during this time? Why is
it
needed?
Yeah, I mean, there are many things going on that we are addressing with the We campaign. I would say that the cries are getting louder, calling for a mass movement of change. People sense the danger we're in as a civilization. They know that our elected officials are CEOs, you know, the mainstream media and others in power are not really addressing all these issues that are going on. We have the environmental climate catastrophes. Look at all these tornadoes that we've seen, fires, droughts in different parts of the world, Somalia, the famine, all of this. You know, it's not really being addressed. There's a mass extinction of species going on. There's escalating militarism and violence. The poverty is expanding. And the gap between the haves and have-nots is increasing. So what we're doing is we're putting together, you could almost call it like a movement of movements. And we're bringing together and connecting the tens of millions of people who share values of peace, social justice, eco-stewardship, holistic health, global consciousness, indigenous wisdom, and we consciousness. We're connecting them so that they can become visible to each other, so they can work collectively. And when that happens, then for the first time, we will have the political, economic, and cultural power to prioritize the common good.
That's exactly what's up. Well said. And that's exactly it, everything you said, because without doing it the way you just described, it's not going to happen. People can obviously see that the governments and corporations are not in it for us, and we the people are the ones that need to make this change and need to stand up and be a voice. That's how powerful we are. We just have to be a voice of truth, and it will resonate through the entire planet. So with that, we're going to wrap up. And do you want to give out any last information, Rick or Marriott, about websites or anything else to get involved with?
Well, I wanted to give a little bit of a shout-out to some of our major partners.
Absolutely.
Earth Dance, United Religions Initiative in North America, Pathways to Peace, World Peace Prayer Society, Civ World, the Unity Foundation and Peace Day TV, Link TV, Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots, the Africa Youth for Peace and Development Group in Cameroon, and Prepare New York, which is doing 500 coffee hour conversations on September 11th to promote inter-community understanding and religious tolerance, the week of global inter-religious dialogue. I could go on and on. Celebrities Against Poverty.
And may I add 4 Years Go and 350.org?
Oh, totally, yes.
Yeah, 350.org, excellent.
Yeah, and people can go to we.net to see all of what's going on, and in particular, we.net/11days to get involved with the 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Ways to Change the World.
Excellent. And Mary, any last thoughts or anything you want to say?
Yes. We would love to have as many young people join Youth Now as possible and make this a really dynamic global organization. And you can just right now go to Facebook and like Youth Now and be on the team and get involved that way. We will have a website and a blog, and we will be on the we.net site very soon.
Excellent. So just go to Facebook and search Youth Now, and you have a Facebook page right now, and you'll have a website coming up in the next month or so.
Right. Yes. And
excellent.
We will have a page on we.net as well.
All right, excellent. Thank you both so much for coming on the show, and I will speak to both of you very soon, I'm sure. And with that, I'm going to do a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to give everyone the top 8 reasons young Americans don't fight back and how the U.S. crushed youth resistance. With that, this song is Red Sun Rising.
Thank you.
Until forever fades away, fades away, fades away. Red sea, red sky, red sun rising, rainbow white, on white sand, blue sea, blue sky, high white sun, white bird high, in the blue sky. Until forever fades away. until forever fades away. Until forever fades away. Until forever fades away.
And welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That was an interview with Rick Marriott from We the World and the Youth Now campaign. Thank you guys so much for coming on. That was an awesome interview. And really quickly, because we're short on time, the top 8 reasons young Americans do not fight back and how the U.S. crushed youth resistance. The ruling elite has created social institutions that have subdued young Americans and broken their spirit of resistance. Traditionally, young people have energized democratic movements, so it is a major coup for the ruling elite to have created societal institutions that have subdued young Americans and broken their spirit of resistance to domination. And here they are, the top 8. 1, student loan debt. We all know how that is. A little bit, even myself, did a little bit of college and do know what debt is like. 2, psychopathologizing and medicating noncompliance. 3, schools that educate for compliance and not for democracy. 4, the quote-unquote no child left behind and the quote-unquote race to the top. 5, shaming young people who take education but not their schooling seriously. 6, the normalization of surveillance. This is a big one. We talk about this a lot on the show, that everything is being surveillance now. Facebook, Yahoo, Google, everything. 7, television. And 8, fundamentalist religion and fundamentalist consumerism. Those are the top reasons and ways that the U.S. has crushed the youth resistance. But I believe that youth resistance can and will make a very big comeback, as they are in other parts of the world. They will do so here in the United States very soon. And with that, coming up on our upcoming shows, August 26th, I have David Chim, a master toner. After that, we have Monty and the Crystal Pod coming on the show, thecrystalpod.com. And next Friday, we have an awesome show on August 19th. That is the Crystal Children Leaders Speak Out. And for all of you who do not know what a crystal child is, or a rainbow child, they are the third generation of special children that have been and have come to help humanity evolve at this time. There is a difference between indigos, crystals, rainbows, and there's a couple interesting facts we'll go over on that show. So I'm going to have a few of the rainbow crystalline children on the show, and we're just going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Earth and the planet and the shift, and it's going to be an awesome, awesome show, so don't miss next Friday. Also coming up on August 9th, we have Beloved. Beloved is a visionary, an artist, and sound alchemist who has been working with me and also a couple other people here in the area on some upcoming events, which we'll talk about when she's on the show. And also coming up on the 16th is Richard Schulman, a composer, a pianist, and recording artist. Richard Schulman has created, 12 albums now. He's played for the UN, and he's also going to channel and do a custom piece for the show for Peace on Earth. And he's going to do a custom piano piece on the show, and that's going to be amazing. So that is the upcoming shows. And again, Star Fam, the time is now. Start talking to people one by one is how we'll awaken each other. And have an amazing, enlightened week. And I'm going to end with Come With Me.